Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking together in these few sessions about a very, very important subject. And this subject is the example of Christ to the believer. And more than we realize, this is a very important subject for the Christian. A subject we need to meditate on, we need to think about. Because the Lord Jesus has a standard for our lives. The Lord Jesus has a place He wants us to have in life. The Lord Jesus has a peak He wants us to climb in our Christian lives. And this stand for the Lord Jesus, this standard that the Lord has set, this peak He wants us to climb, has to do with being everything He wants us to be and doing everything He wants us to do. Now in this life, as we face life, even with the help of the Holy Spirit, and each of us, if we're Christians, has the Holy Spirit in our lives, each of us, even still, will face difficulties. We will face many trials along the way. We will face many disappointments. Even when we try to live for the Lord Jesus, I would confess it is not easy. As old as I am, as many years as I've been a missionary, every day I have to look to the strength of the Lord Jesus. I have to look for His encouragement, His help, His uplifting, which is given us by the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in our lives. Now this example of the Lord Jesus is also an encouragement to us. Not only do we have the help of the Holy Spirit in living our lives, in climbing these peaks of spiritual victory, but we also have the encouragement of the Lord Jesus as our example. And this example is very, very important because the Lord Jesus is not only the divine Son of God, but He came down and He lived among us and He suffered and He died on the cross for our sins. He was tempted in every way like we are tempted. Now today, we want to consider His example in giving. This subject of giving is very, very important. I spoke to you before about the idea of sacrificing for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And now the question of what are we willing to give? This is a very important question, and it faced the Christians even of the New Testament. I'm turning now to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. And I want to read one particular verse, and then I want to find the context or the surrounding verses of this particular verse. Verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich." You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I repeat, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Now what is He speaking of here before we consider the surrounding verses? What is He speaking of concerning Jesus? We know, of course, that as the divine Son of God, from the very eternity, the very beginning of the world, of course, Jesus was there, and for all eternity He was there as the divine Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's difficult to explain theologically, but in creation, Jesus was there. He helped make this world. He made this world perfectly, but man helped destroy it through sin. And now, the Lord Jesus is required, and in fact, He volunteers for this. He submits Himself to this. He's required now to come into this world, to leave heaven's glory. It is not the poverty in which He was born that they're speaking of, but it's the very fact that He lived in this world. He became poor for our sakes, because to Him, living in this world would be poverty in every possible way. Even if He had been born in a palace, it wouldn't have mattered. Living in this world would be poverty, because He was leaving heaven's glory. So in this passage it says, He became poor. For your sakes He became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. The application here is, of course, that you and I could not have been saved if he had not left heaven's glory to live in this world in a poverty situation. If he had simply stayed in heaven, we never would have had a sacrifice for our sins. Even the millions of sacrifices in the Old Testament, none of them could take away sin. It had to be the spotless Lamb of God who would die for our sins, the divine Son of God coming down in human form, who would be worthy, who would be able, who would have power to save us from our sins. So there was no other way that our salvation could have been brought about. Oh, how we thank him that he became poor for us. Now this passage has a context, and the context is chapters 8 and 9. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, God had commanded this church to take an offering. This offering was going to be given to the poor saints in the city of Jerusalem. They were going through a desperate situation of hunger and need. And so the churches of Macedonia in the north, Philippi and Thessalonica, the churches of Galatia over there in Lystra and other places in Asia, all of these churches now were commanded to take offering, and they would be to these poor saints in Jerusalem to help sacrifice on their part, but they were to give a sacrificial offering to God. After 1 year, now we read in 2 Corinthians, the offering had given the sacrifice to on the means to give sacrificially and willingly and gladly for the sake of the Lord Jesus, they gave to the saints in Jerusalem. But after 1 year, apparently not one penny had been given by the Corinthian church. And then finally, 1 year later, we read in Romans chapter 15, 2 years, in fact, after the offering was commanded to be taken, finally, the Corinthians had joined the others in giving the offering. Oh, how selfish of them! What a greedy spirit they had! How willful they were! How disobedient they were to the will of God! After the Lord Jesus had given so much for them, now they were selfish and willful and rebellious against God. And so, finally, in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, he finally issues again this command to them, do it. It's been a year now. You haven't done it. Now do it. He is giving a command about this. And finally, reluctantly, these people give to God. Now my purpose today is not to cast down the Corinthians. Even though they were a sinful church, even in Corinthians, they are still a sinful church. Not even like Christians. Possible ways sin against God. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he finally says, test yourselves whether you be in the faith. I'm not sure some of you are even Christians, the way you've acted. No, he's in giving. Be like these people. We're not simply giving what we're required to give. Sometimes people feel, all right, if God requires me to give it, I'll give it. But nothing more and nothing less. I will give it. I will not give less than he wants, but I'm not going to sacrifice to do it. If this is your attitude, God cannot accept you as being acceptable in his sight. In other words, this is not pleasing to God if you're a Christian, and this is your attitude towards giving. If the pastor says I have to do it, I will do it. It shouldn't be because a pastor says we have to do it. It should be because God is saying to us, I sent the Lord Jesus. He gave everything for you. Would you be willing to share some of what you have and give back to him? Should a child give something to God? When our children were very small, We gave them an allowance. The allowance in those days was very small. Perhaps they only got $1 a week to spend. But we taught them, you give some of this back to God. And so they would give 10 cents, they would give 20 cents back to the Lord, put it in the offering on Sunday in church. We were out on the mission field. And then, of course, we ourselves as missionaries would send our tithe, our gifts, back to the church. Our home church would send us. And some people would say, no, you're missionaries. You don't have to give. No, we're Christians. We belong to the Lord Jesus. In gratitude, we owe him everything we have. And so please accept our tithe, our gifts, back to our home church again. And so God is asking us to have a spirit of giving. There are so many needs that need to be met. Some of us have the needs before us. We have the means to meet these needs. And only there needs to be in our hearts the willingness to do it. And I'm not judging you brothers and sisters out there listening to this broadcast. Many of you are already giving sacrificially to the Lord. Thank the Lord for this. Thank the Lord for the privilege of saying thank you to Jesus by giving of what we have to him. Not only our lives, but our material possessions to share them. I remember one businessman named Letourneau in the United States gave 90% of everything he had to God. Of course, he was a businessman. He had much, but he lived modestly. And he gave of the profits of his business, a big business, gave the profits back to the work of God. Not to his glory, but in thanks to the Lord Jesus for what the Lord Jesus meant to him. And so let us have this spirit of giving. The entire chapters, and you might read these sometimes in your meditation, the entire chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians are devoted to this subject. And you might just read and meditate on this. But let this be the spirit of your heart, not of necessity, not simply of willingness to somehow meet a standard, but in a spirit of sacrifice because you appreciate what Jesus has done for you and he is your example. May God help you in this, and may God bless you.